Those are crossing vector. Then this part defines the block specifications. So this means space-time dimension is 3. Due to cutoff is 11. Kappa is how many pole you want to keep in rational approximation. Rn is not the parameter in rational approximation. So as a general rule, you want to set Rn to be 4 times kappa. I tested that gave you a reliable approximation. And this part is how many spin you want to include in the bootstrap test. So inside the simple boot, there are a few presetting. So this is the setting from David's paper. If you want to change to.
About the spin, is there a general rule? Like,
So it's not,
would
for spins, there is no general rule, but in principle, you can use navigator function to figure out which spin set you need. We can talk about this maybe on Thursday. Okay. Now, this command, the command actually tells simple boot about the crossing vector and the blocks. And now we are ready to start to set up a bootstrap condition. So first, I define a function. This is a user-defined function. It could be any name. So in this function, the argument is a space-time dimension and the set of spin. So first element, those elements are a channel name, a gap, and a spin. So spin could be a set. So this one means we want to demand alpha acting on the crossing vector of this channel. So this is Z2 ord even spin. So we want alpha acting on V ord even spin channel are positive for delta larger than 3 and for spin 0. So it's channel gap and spin. So this one is Z2 ord Z2 even spin 0. We want to demand delta larger than 3. Or the gap could be your entirety bound. This L is a placeholder for the spin. And this function select all the even spin from L set and select all the spin larger non-zero. So this basically demand alpha acting on V even is positive for delta larger than your entirety bound and for spin equals to 2 for until whatever number you specified in L set. So this one is for V ord. So those are the bootstrap conditions we talked about this morning.
I mean, one question.
Yes.
If I want to put the gap, for example, only on the spin 8 guy, that's an easy way.
Just change this. And just put the spin 8 here. So
Okay.
copy this line, put spin 8 here, and
Put the
each include the spin 8 from here. Thanks. So this is a function I defined. Now I want to define a template for the bootstrap problem. I will tell you what is template later. So it's here I want to specify the normalization in SDP, objective in SDP, and some conditions. And the condition, first condition means I want to demand alpha acting on the V theta term is positive. And the second, this part will generate all the positivity condition based on whatever I specified here. So in later tutorial, I will tell you how to use those functions. For now, it's just some those are just some special symbol for identity and for zero. Okay, so this function will actually produce a template. So let me show you what is a template. So after execute this function, in the project folder, this template file are produced. So let's take a look what's inside. So this is basically the input for SDPP. This is the format I showed you in the morning. It's SDP, and the first entry is the objective. So I set objective to be zero. Second entry is the normalization. Here, you say a bunch of things. Those are not the actual number for normalization. Instead, it's a placeholder indicate the normalization coming from certain correlator for certain spin and for certain MN. So this is a placeholder for a polynomial with delta plugin. And this part are the positive matrix with prefactor. So those are the matrix for positivity test. So this is the format I showed you this morning. Just all the polynomial are just a placeholder. In this template, there is no actual polynomial. So how SimpleBoot works is the following. So SimpleBoot in high efficiency mode works in the following way. You tell SimpleBoot about closing vector and the block, and you tell SimpleBoot about the special assumption. Then SimpleBoot produces that template I just showed you. Then SimpleBoot also calls scalar block mode to generate conformal block. And also generate a parameter file indicate what's the value for external operator and what's the value for certain variable you specified in the template. So in the template, you can have some mathematical variable, which are also placeholder. Then there is another C++ program, SDP2 input mode. This program takes these three information and plugging polynomial to the template and produce the actual SDP. And this is the SDP sent to SDPB.
So sorry, up to that point, everything is locally in your laptop?
Oh, so everything here is on the cluster.
Oh, on the cluster.
I haven't shown you how to actually produce an SDP, but I will do in a second. So in this way, all the heavy computation are done in C++. For example, in the template, we just indicate how much you want to shift the polynomial. We want to shift delta equals to x plus your integrity bound. So you have to shift those polynomials. Those are heavy computation. But all the heavy computation are in C++. Once the template are generated for different points in the theory space, you use same template. You just call this C++ code with different parameter file. Therefore, mathematicians don't do heavy computation. All the heavy computation are in C++. In this way, yes.
So mathematicians doesn't like read in, for example, the output of scalar block and then try to like shift and then make another like input file of these polynomials. I guess you avoided that?
SimpleBoot can also operate in that way, but today I'm going to show you how to use the high efficiency mode. So this is much faster than that way.
Yeah.
Okay, so the advantage is that it's very fast, but of course the disadvantage is simple boot don't have access to explicit data. For example, simple boot will not know what is the actual normalization vector. So sometimes you also want to use in a different mode. Okay, anyway.
All right. Which point is the convolution of conformal blocks done?
That is done. So original scalar block don't do convolution, but scalar block mode will do convolution for you.
Okay, so
convolution is also done in C++.
Okay, and this will be done for all the parameters that are specified by the templates.
Yes. This will take the argument for the convolver factor, and then it will produce the convolved block.
Sorry. How much faster is this with respect to the everything doing everything in Mathematica?
Much, much faster. depends on which lambda you want to do. For high lambda, this will be several.
It's not doable, but you can only do this one.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So now this function is a function actually producing an SDP. So this function is a function that will be called by the scanner. That is a Delaunay scanner, which will call this function and give it a point in the theory space. So this function has to interpret the meaning of that point. So this part, I take delta sigma delta epsilon to be the point. This set part is reset the real number to be 200 digit. And this function takes this function is a function actually called SDP input mode to actually produce an SDP. So the argument is external operator and some user-defined argument. For this setup, there is no user-defined variable. So it's empty. And that's it. Now we are ready to use Delaunay's scanner. So I want to first upload the notebook to the cluster. And for Delaunay's scanner, we want to choose initial grade of points. So it's this function. I want to choose this initial grade. This function basically generates points in a certain range. And I include one point here because I know this point is definitely inside the island. Okay, so this function is a function I use to call the feasibility scanner. So first part, so this is in the cluster as an evaluate. So whatever inside here will be encoded and send to the cluster and submit as a job. So this job first generate the template, and this defines that grade of points. This function is a function called the Delaunay scanner. First argument is the function actually produces the SDP. Second is the initial points. This one is the parameter for SDPB. Those primordial error, those parameter, I will discuss in Thursday. It's relate to how SDPB works. This one indicate what algorithm you want to use. So for Delaunay, you put Delaunay here. This is how many points we want to scan. And initial checkpoints. If you set to false, there is no initial checkpoints.
What is the checkpoint?
This code will automatically hot start. That means after you compute one SDP, for the new SDP, it will not start fresh. Instead, it will start from the final status of the solver from a nearby point. that has been computed.
STPB just generally just makes checkpoints as you run it.
So for the checkpoints and hot start, I will talk about those technical detail later, later of the week. Okay. Now I'm ready to submit this job.
So how do you run things in parallel? So this like scan one point at a time, right? So if you wanted,
I will show you.
Okay.
So this is the workspace folder on the cluster. Nothing inside this project. Oh, by the way, the project folder should be specified here. This specify which folder you want to use to host this project. That could be multiple projects in one workspace, but they will share the configuration, the script. So now let me submit this job. Oh. My job is not running. Someone using the cluster. If we are using, please let me. Please kill your job. Otherwise, I couldn't. Okay, I can use another query. Okay. We are good. Let me kill this job. Let me check. So for PI cluster, I defined some simple function to quickly switch tree. So this will switch to another tree. Now let me submit the job. Now this job is running, and you see it's already produced the template file on the cluster. Now this function print out the job output, and let's take a look what's happening. So starting from here, the code call scalar block mode and try to actually produce try to produce the convolved block. So those arguments indicate the convolve factor. So for different correlator, the convolve factor is different. So from here, it calls SDP to input mode, try to actually produce an SDP. So this one is the output of SDP to input mode. So this is actually the SDP used for SDPB. And it also called SDPB, try to run this SDP. So this function, you can give it the file name of the SDP, and it will print out the output of SDPB. So let's take a look. Now this is the it's this SDP, and this is the output of SDPB.
Is it pulling that from the cluster?
Yes. Although I'm operating everything on my laptop, but those functions go to the cluster, download things.
So your control cluster functions in the beginning that you explained, can that be used to run anything on the cluster?
Yeah, you can use those. So if you don't want to do bootstrap, you want to just run some mathematical code on cluster, you can also use input.
Okay.
So this is output of SDPB. And here you see a primal feasible jump. This is because that's the first point, and it's inside the island. OK. Now I can download all the project data from the cluster and load the data into my local laptop. And this function displays the status of the run. So you see here, it already finished 4 points. Those red points are disallow point, and the black point are pointers that is allowed. Now, what happens if we want to use multiple node? So in that way, we just submit this job multiple times. So let me use a table to do that. And let me submit two jobs. So, you see on the cluster, these two jobs start running.
Mm-hmm.
And I can go to, now you see it finished already many points. Those green points means the points either computing or scheduled to be computed in the future.
So how do the different jobs communicate to each other not to scan the same point twice?
Very good question. I'm going to discuss this in later tutorial. Basically, there is a file on the cluster called project status.
Okay.
All the job communicate with each other use this file. So this file store information about which point you want to compute, which point is computing, and which point is computed. And there is a C++ code in simple boot which lock this file and update this file and unlock so that multiple job don't have concurrence conflict. So since all the job will write to this file, if they write simultaneously, it could get into trouble. But there is a C++ code to try to solve that.
Certainly, but even SDBP, you can run on different nodes, right? So what is better to do, just doing SDBP on more nodes or running different?
So this is Lambda 11, so it's no point to run it for different nodes use SDBP.
Okay.
SDBP on different nodes is designed for run really huge SDBP.
Mm-hmm.
So for almost everything in this tutorial, we'll just use one node for one SDBP. Yes?
Just to add something to that, like the question you asked is very much the question of the art of bootstrapping, and that like
yeah.
You have so much computing resources, how are you going to allocate it? And that's a choice that you need to make.
Yeah, sure.
So there's many, many choices for that.
So there's not a general rule you say, like, if you have Lambda 20, it's better to do.
Each bootstrap system is going to be totally different. So for one system, Lambda equals 11 will be brutally horrible. And for another system, Lambda equals 31 will be like a cakewalk.
That depends on the number of equations you have.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So
I think in general, for small SDP, you just use one node. For big SDP, you use multi-node. Here are some utility code you can use. Also, this is some function defined in simple boot to tell you. So basically, this variable contains the data in this file. So inside it is the data about which point is computing. Which point is computed? Okay, so now I wrote a function here that constantly downloads the project data from the cluster and display it. So now this is what's happening in real time. So this function keep download the file from the cluster, and now you can see what's really computing now. So this is Delaunay search. The solver decide to scan this point. Why the solver don't scan this point? Because that point depends on the result of this point. So that is a parallel version of Delaunay search, which try to organize the different jobs. Okay, so.
What are the green dots? What are the green dots?
So this two green dot is the point that is computing.
Okay.
But remember, we submit three jobs.
Yeah, yeah.
So why there is only two points here? That's because sometimes you only have a small number of boundary triangle, and it could be the solver has to wait for some green points to finish in order to decide which one to compute for the next. In that case, one of the job might end. So right now there are only two jobs running. So let me check.
So this is not efficient in the sense when you see only one or two green dots instead of three?
No. It's just in the beginning stage. In the beginning stage, the Delaunay search might have to wait for certain points to finish. So for example, if this point is computing, then it will not scan that point, because whether you want to scan that point depends on the result of this point.
So you will have to wait for that point.
Yeah, so if there is no available point to compute, one job might end. Okay.
And in general, this will run until which point?
So this will run until maximum number of points, then it will terminate.
So 200 across all jobs combined?
Hmm?
200 per job or 200 total?
That's the number of points you specify here. But you can change that number. So let me show you a few functionality in simple boot.
Before that, one thing I'm confused about is I thought like all of the region would be blue, and then as you did the search, it would carve out, you know, what part of it is white. But this, you know, the blue region's growing. What's the logic for that? Because shouldn't it all be feasible until you rule stuff out?
So the blue region in this code is just a convex hull of all the black points. That's the definition of blue region. So it's not.
You should look at the hull of like the wire mesh, and that is all the stuff that could be feasible based on what you know.
So you see, in this step, you really see some trouble for Delaunay search. It's not when it search this tip, it's not that efficient. So sometimes you might want to manually add a few points. Let me show you how to do that. So this mathematical file is computing because this cell is always try to monitor and download the project. So what we can do is that I'm going to copy paste this file. I'm going to use another file. So let me change the name. By the way, when you use simple boot, you always have to open a fresh mathematical kernel to run the file. You shouldn't run two notebook within same mathematical core. Okay, so this is not a file, but if here the project folder is same as my first file, then it actually operates the same project, because on the cluster, it's always the project defined in this folder. So I can do some manipulation in this file. So you see it's the same project linked to same computation. Now let me just manually take some points to ask the scanner to scan. So I will right click the plot and get coordinate. So I'm going to click a few points in the tip direction, in the tip of the island. And this function can add more points manually to the database, and the scanner will scan those points first, then start to do deep learning search after those points are finished. So,
why did you need to add to open another Mathematica kernel to do this?
Because this one is monitoring the.
If you want, you can just kill
these. Yeah, I can kill this. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So I'm going to this code has to this command has to run on the cluster. So I'm going to use this command to run it on the login node. Sorry, I forgot one thing. I have to upload this notebook, otherwise it will not run. It complains it doesn't find, cannot open the notebook. So this finished. Therefore, if you go back to this file, you see those points I manually added already marked as a point to be computed, to be computed in future. Okay, I can also submit more job. Let me request, let me add one more job. Also, sometimes you see this island, you already get the rough shape of this island. Now you might be interested in scan certain region more precisely. Let's say I might want to scan this part more precisely. So in simple boot, you can choose a polygon around the region you want to scan. So I choose these 5 points. And this code define a region, define a test region for the deep learning search. So here I'm going to modify the project file, and this function locks the project, so that other job will not write to the same file. And this part try to modify the modify the parameter in the project.
So how is this different with respect to what we did before? Like this command, you're adding points, now what are you adding?
So this command add a test region in the deep learning scanner, so that the learning scanner will only scan points inside this polygon. So let me switch back, you see. This is the region I want to test. Now it does not spend the resources on those parts.
It will move from the area, okay.
It will only scan points inside this region.
How did you grab those points? You just click?
So I go to the plot, and I manually choose a few points, define a polygon.
And then control C, paste.
Oh, yes, sorry. Then control C, paste, yeah. Sorry, I forgot.
Yeah.
So,
this choice affects the previous jobs. They know only to scan this region.
So a previous job, if they are computing some points, they will finish those points. Then look at the project status .txt to see if there are more points that you want the scanner to scan. If it finds some point, you tell the scanner to scan, then the scanner will scan those points first. If not, the scanner will do usual DeLaunay search.
But only inside the polygon.
If we start to try to find a new point to search, then it will only within that test region.
I see.
So if you take the polygon to be convex, not non-convex, then like, would you get an error?
No, it's fine.
Okay. Yeah.
You can use mathematical, whatever mathematical region for it. Okay, so now basically the Ethan island almost finished in maybe 10 minutes. So this is because in high efficiency mode, simple boot is really fast. Okay, what happened if somehow the job before the points are finished. So let's say we want to scan 200 points, but if the computation is really long and the job terminate before the computation finishes, so in that case, what should I do? Let me first kill the job. So this function tell me which job is running, and I use this run shell to kill all the jobs. So now the job are canceled.
Didn't you send like 4 jobs? Why did you have one?
I think when I set up the test region, somehow certain job just not find a point to run and terminate.
Ah, okay, thanks.
So that's another function. So this function, what this function do is that when some job end, in the project status .txt, those points are still marked as computing. Therefore, the other job will try to avoid those points. So what this function does is that it check all the points that is marked as calculating, and check the status of all of those jobs. If certain jobs end prematurely, then this function will mark those points as not finished. Then those points will be moved to an entry that will be scheduled to run in the future. So then after that, you can resubmit the job and restart the run. Okay, so basically.
How do you decide the time and the memory of the job you will?
Actually, I'm going to tell you now. So this is how simple boot works in full functionality. You use your local laptop to control a remote cluster. So for this to work, you have to follow my note in the instruction to configure SSH in automatic mode. Sometimes you may not be able to do that. So one example could be some cluster require you every time when you log into the cluster might require you to put a code from your cell phone. In that case, SimpleBoot will not be able to operate to connect with the cluster. So if that happens, what you can do is that you can manually operate SimpleBoot on a remote cluster. So let me show you how that works. How that works. So.
Sorry, where are the instructions you were talking to? The instructions you were talking to, is that the SSH?
That's in the installation. Installation.md.
Okay.
So, assuming I couldn't connect to the cluster automatically, then how to use SimpleBoot? What I can do is that now I have to manually submit the job. What does that mean? So on the cluster, I wrote a script, this run.sh. So this specify what tree, what partition I want to use, specify how many nodes I need, and specify the time for the job. So right now, I couldn't use the default tree, so I'm going to change it to this tree. Here, this script call math kernel to run a file. So it could be a mathematical script. Now I have to manually submit this job. So what I want to use is this file. So in this file, the first part is just load a SimpleBoot package. And this function loads the async oe.m. That's my notebook. That's the file define async bootstrap condition. OK, this part is the whatever instruction I want to run. So originally, I use this function. Cluster as an evaluator to submit some mathematical command to the cluster and run it as a job. Now, if I couldn't do that from my local computer, whatever I run, I want to run here, I have to manually submit on the cluster. So I wrote that instruction in this script. And on the cluster, I just manually submit this job. So it should be run.sh and so I just manually submit this job. Then this will run on the cluster. So what happens if you don't have a cluster? Then you can still use SimpleBoot. Just now you don't submit job. You simply let's say if you have a workstation, you simply run this command in the workstation to call mathematically. Okay, so that's basically what I want to tell you. There are some exercises I want you to do. So first two exercises, I forgot one thing. Some other file, async o.mb. This file encode the single correlator condition. So it's actually much simpler than the file I showed you. The only difference is that in this file, I defined some user variable. So this delta epsilon is a user-defined variable. And the individual operator indicate I want to plug in this condition into the bootstrap setup. And basically, I demand alpha dot v should be positive for this specific delta. Then I demand alpha dot v even should be positive for delta larger than 3.9. So when I try to actually produce an SDP, I have to specify the user-defined variable here. So that's a variable appear in the template. So when I produce SDP, I have to specify what's the value for that variable. So So in the exercise, I want you to go through these two notebooks, using OE, that's mixed correlate bootstrap, and using O, that's single correlate bootstrap. Go through these two notebooks and try to scan Ising Island yourself. And exercise three, try to modify this single correlate file to scan 3D ON. So you will need cross-invited from this paper. Exercise four asks you to scan the same as using OE, mixed collator setup. Instead of scan the island, we are going to scan the continent. There is another large feasible region right to the island. And this exercise asks you to scan that part. So, and there are another two. Try to finish exercise four before Thursday because it's related to something I want to discuss on Thursday. Okay, thanks.